Hey, welcome to the Welding Business Owners Podcast, where our podcasts are late, but our bids are on time. I'm your host, Kevin, with JMW Fabrication. Today, we have episode number 4 with Jeremiah from Mobile Weld. In the episode, we talk about what it was like to start his business from nothing and what his real secret to success is. Just because his episode series is over doesn't mean it's the last that you have to hear from him. You can find him on Instagram at MobileWeldINC. You can find us at Welding Business Owners Podcast. You can find me at JMW Fabrication. And without further ado, here's the 4th and final episode with Jeremiah from Mobile Weld.
I feel like a lot of people this is, we all kind of have from social media and all the internet and everything, we have it almost like attention disorder where we're all, you know, we want the next thing already. We can't have the patience to stick, you know, and starting a business is the same way. It's like you're going to get rich immediately. And I don't know about you, but I've been in it for 10 years and I'm still not rich. I have assets, but, you know, but like I just keep having to reinvest in the company, you know, and stuff like that. It just, and that company is a very hungry monster, you know, and it loves eating, you know. And so, you know, it's definitely not one of those get rich quick schemes.
No, definitely
it's
not.
It's definitely a long-term, long-haul kind of deal. You know, I don't think you really will reap the full benefits until you retire.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that's the plan that someone should have when they're starting a business is like, hey, like you're going to make a living. You're going to make a decent, honest living your whole life. And then at the end, if you do play all your cards right and everything goes your way, then you should have a pretty decent retirement set up, you know, and be pretty good to go and probably had a lot of fun along the way, you know? but yeah, it's interesting when I'm teaching students, you know, like there's just such different avenues and such different types of welders out there. And even, you know, I have some people saying, I want to start a welding business and they're still in school. And I'm like, you shouldn't even think about starting a welding business till you've been out in the field for at least, I'd say at least bare minimum 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, agreed. You really need to know how to get yourself out of a jam before you start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like the first 5 years, you know how to get yourself in a jam. You don't know how to get yourself out.
Dang, at least that's the way
it was for me. You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's just the way it is, you know? And then I'd say after, you know, the 5 to 10 years is where you learn how to not get yourself in a jam. And then after about 10 years is where you really know how to get yourself out of the jam really well.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's kind of where in the ballpark of where you should, you know, you can consider like, okay, yeah, now I feel like it's can start my own business and not get myself in trouble, you know? Yep.
Yeah. Should everybody start a business? No. Do I encourage people to do it if they think that they're made for it? Yeah, sure. If you have enough experience. If you don't have the experience, man, you're gonna get yourself in trouble. You're gonna lose a lot of money. And it's gonna put a bad taste in your mouth because you don't have the tools and the skills to overcome what gets thrown at you. You know what I mean? You can fake it till you make it to an extent. You know, you can't fake it to make it when you did something completely wrong. You know, I'm back when I first started, I didn't know what a lot of these terms were. So I would just Google the term and what it meant because I didn't understand what it meant on the drawing. Like you can fake it like that.
Right.
But you can't fake it when you're face to face and you're like, oh man, I didn't do this to the plans because I didn't know how to read plans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then if you're the type that's not going to fess up to stuff, most general contractors, you know, a lot of general contractors I work for and superintendents have been around for a long time and they've seen a lot of stuff and they know you're selling them wolf tickets right out the gate. You know what I mean? They're not, they don't take any bulls, you know, they know, you know, like, you know, obviously there are some superintendents that are fresh and brand new and they don't know too much, but most of them are pretty stinking, you know, And so if you're like, well, I was just doing this because of this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you didn't know what you were doing, just fess up and just go, you know what, my bad, I'll fix it. But yeah, when you're new, you're going to make a lot of those, you know, within the first 5 years, you're going to do a lot of that. And you're going to, some of that could really cost you really, really bad. Like you said, you know, it's tough. It's tough. But I still get students all the time, or I get a lot of students in the college say, you know, I want to be a pipeliner. And I'm like, I had a guy come work for me. He came out of another city college, and he had bought a rig. He went out and spent the money on a rig, had all of the stuff, and he comes to work for me, and he's like, well, I'm trying to get out in the pipeline. You know, I want to be a pipeliner and all this kind of stuff. I bought my rig and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I told him, I said, okay, it's great. I said, but you need to put in a little time at some of these fab shops like ours for a while before you even go out there. You know, look, I'm no pipeliner. I know very little about that field. It's a very glamorized field, at least at the colleges, and on social media and stuff like that. But I told him, I said, just to be an apprentice and work with somebody over there, it's a high paced. If you're slowing somebody down, there's no way you're going to make it. You know, like I'm not sure if those guys get paid by the joint or not. I don't know if they're hourly or whatever, but I know that it's a very competitive field out there. And, you know, these guys come and I'm like, you need to put in your time, but nobody wants to put in the time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of young people just don't want to put in the time and everybody kind of wants it now these days. I can be guilty of it too, but really, like, just like in business, man, you just have to put in your time and be patient. Know those things will come.
Yep. What do you think is your secret to your success?
I think, I would say, like, one of the secrets to my success is just being real with people. To be honest, you know, I was very successful in my metal fabrication before I became a business owner. I seemed to have a gift for it, in layout and the geometry side of things, and being able to fit up stuff really well. But once I got into business, that stuff's great, but being able to be real with people has gotten me a long way. Being honest to your contractors when you know, fessing up when you screw up, being straight and being like giving them all the details ahead of time, trying to be very communicative, stuff like that has really helped me out. And then, you know, and then when it came to employees, it was the same thing, is just being real with them. Not trying to pull any shady maneuvers or anything like that. I think that is huge. If you're an honest business owner and you run an honest business, you're going to go a long way. And you know, as long as you're somewhat fiscally responsible, you're going to go a long way. Because I think that I found that a lot of the contractors that we've worked for, that's been one of our selling points, is that, we're very upfront and honest with them. We don't try to get out of things. We, you know, we honor our contracts. We're always there on time. When you're getting into the big contracts, timing is very important too, is to make sure you're hitting people's schedules. There's nothing that will make a contractor more angry with you than screwing up their schedule. They hate when you screw up their schedule, because there's a lot of people relying on that schedule.
Yeah.
And so that's huge. When we say we're going to be done, we are done. You know, like if we have to do a little overtime or whatever it is to hit that date, we have to hit that date, because, that's just one of the critical things. So I think that just being an honest business owner, running an honest business, you know, and then just being fiscally responsible, I think those are kind of the main critical things.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you think?
Secret to my success. I enjoy what I do. So it's really not, it's work, but it's not really like work because I really enjoy what I do. And because I enjoy it, I don't mind putting in the hours and working my ass off to get to do what has to be done. So I really think it's just the hard work that I put into it. It's, you know, I always have a, I have this, I told my wife early on when we first met, like, I can do anything. I can do anything because I'm human, just like everybody else. And if you don't know how to do something, you just learn how to do it. That's how they did it. They read a book. They talked to somebody else. Somebody else taught them. So if they can do it, why can't I do it? And having that mentality of just being able to do whatever I want, I just need to learn how to do it, has really got me far enough that I can just, if I don't know how to do this paperwork, well, I'm just going to figure it out. If I don't know how to do this, I'm just going to watch a YouTube video on it. If I don't know about this, I'm going to Google it and I'm going to figure it out because it's just problem solving. So I really think it's just having the mindset of do whatever it takes. And we're all human. We're all on the same, basically the same level. So if somebody else can do it, why can't I?
Right. Absolutely. I like that mentality.
It's gotten us this far, so
Right. Yeah. Well, I remember first starting, and when I was starting my own gig, I had no idea it was going to end up what it is now. You know, I just did it, like you said, because I loved welding and fabrication. I loved working with metal. I don't know why I liked metal. And sometimes I ask myself why I went from something really lightweight, like sheet metal, into kind of ironwork and stuff like that, more heavier stuff, because it's like everything that we touch now is stinking heavy. But yeah, it was the love of the craft, you know, that I really, really enjoyed. And so, like you said, it wasn't such a big deal to work 16-hour days. You know, the worst part about it was doing the paperwork, which I'm sure everybody can agree on, right? You know, you love the fabrication side of things, and you know, and it's sometimes sad to me now that I don't get to do it very much anymore. And even when I try to go out in the field, I'm on my phone half the time, because you know somebody important is calling and I have to answer it. You know, like these are important phone calls, and so even when I'm out in the field, I have to be on the phone all the time, and so it really doesn't make sense for me to. I'm not very productive out there anymore. Sometimes I'll take the graveyard shift jobs. You know, when we're working inside of say a mall or some sort of place, and we got to do a graveyard shift. I'll take those because my phone doesn't ring at that hour. It's great. You know, I get to just put my head down and work, and I love it. It's so fun. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I totally agree with you. The love of the craft is huge. If you don't have that, don't even start.
Absolutely. If you were to start it all over again, what do you think that you would do differently?
That's a great question. Oh gosh, I don't even want to say, but I would probably stay small.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I it might be a situation where I haven't moved into a different level and I'm kind of on the cusp of a different level. I forget who was it, the guy from Tig Tech that had a huge, pretty big operation
Chad,
out here
yeah.
in California, Chad, right? He's got, you know, he's gotten to another level, and I don't know that it's better once I have a. So I've noticed as I've grown, that there are these high and low points as far as your profitability. When you grow to a certain point, you'll get a certain amount of employees. Your costs are at the right spot, and there'll be these little sweet spots where you can make really good money. And then you will grow just a little bit past that, and you'll be in an odd point where you have either too many employees or too much costs, and the revenue brought in doesn't jive. And sometimes I feel like we're toying in and out of these little spots right now, where I'm not sure, like, you know, and I feel like it really has to do with the amount of employees mostly. And I'm sure some of the costs, you know, just your overhead cost as far as your facility. But there's these little sweet spots that you'll hit. We hit some, like when I told you when we got the money to buy this place, we had hit that spot where we were able to do a lot of work very affordably for our shop. And so we made a lot of money, had a lot of profit. And but when I was by myself, like you broke myself, like my back will never be the same, literally, just because, you know, when you're the only person there and you have to lift that thing or get it off the truck or whatever it is, you know, you just kind of you kind of summon up some He-Man strength and do it. But then later on your back is shot, you know, and certain things are shot from it and will never be the same. But when I was by myself, money was like crazy. I think a lot of that had to do with the skill that I had already built up over 15 years, you know, where I was able, like we were talking about earlier, to, you know, not only keep myself out of trouble, but also was able to problem solve really well and get myself out of a jam really easy. So, and I never had callbacks. While I was by myself, I never had one single callback on one little item ever. So that makes your profitability very, very good. You know what I mean? And so, you know, if I was to do it all over again, I probably would just, you know, have like a little, like you have, like a little repair truck and go do small little jobs, you know, work my own schedule, set my own schedule, do my own thing, and probably have more time for my family and, you know, stuff like that. That's, you know, that's where I'm at now, is I'm trying to make more time for my family. You
Yeah,
know,
same here.
I'm trying to make sure that I'm not overextending myself. It's been a little tough in the building process of the building, so we're making a little sacrifice right now. But once the building's done, I'm pretty much like, okay, I need to be working like 40 hours a week. I already adjusted my school schedule into my work day. So I'm taking a little time out of the business to go teach at the college, but so I'm not working nights, because I was working two nights a week. And so I don't want to do that anymore. You know, my kids are 5 and 8, and so it's like they're at that critical age right now where I really need to be involved. Not to say that any other age is less critical, but for me, I feel like this is the years that I can really have an impression on them. And so that's where I'm trying to be there.
Good, man. Awesome. Well, is there anything you've got for me before I let you go back to work? 'Cause I know you're busy and you've got stuff to do.
Yeah, I've had a few people coming up to my window already. So one thing I wanted to say, dude, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel the same way as, dude, I, you know, and it's the reason why I reached out to you in the beginning. Not to do a podcast with you, but just to tell you that, man, I just so appreciate what you're doing here. You know,
Thank you.
when you when I first heard your podcast, Tyler, you met Tyler before, right? In
Yeah,
our
on our other
last Zoom
Zoom
meeting.
call.
He showed your podcast to me, and at the time, I was pretty burned out. Like really burned out from the business. The business had really taken a toll on me. And so, man, what a revival it has created. Like what a like it has helped me so much just to get that fire back under me. You know what I mean? And after, you know, so many years, it's sometimes you're, you know, whether it be the situation you're in, I think waiting on the city and waiting on our power and paying all this money and all that, you know, probably had some problems with some employees or something like that. I'm just sitting there going, oh my goodness, why am I doing this? And it was cool, dude. You really got the fire stoked again.
Cool.
And I just appreciate that you're doing it, dude. And I'm sure that other people would say the same thing. And so, yeah, know that you're having an effect on us and that it's a positive thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you, man. That really, I really appreciate you saying that. And I love it when everybody reaches out to me and they say the same thing, you know, the Instagram messages, and it's really encouraging. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't stop, dude. It's a great thing. I know it probably takes a toll on your business, you having to do this stuff. You know that it's a good cause, because, you know, like I was just listening to something the other day and they're talking about how like our tradesmen are aging out, you know, mm-hmm. we're having a problem where the baby boomers are all aging out. They're all in the retirement ages, and there needs to be kind of a revival of the muscular class, the working class, blue collar people, and many trades and some of the white collar stuff where a lot of people are aging out. Nobody wants to do this kind of stuff. And it takes inspiration, you know, and to get people to actually take that step and that leap of faith of starting their own business. So I think it's great what you're doing. And I think it's really important for our culture, for our country, and just for all the people that are out there trying to create jobs for people. And so I think it's a great thing. So, but yeah, cool. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you sitting down and talk with me and taking time out of your busy schedule.
You too, man. Appreciate it.
Let's catch up again sometime. And I want to see that building as it's coming along.
I will. I'll be posting it on Instagram for sure.
Awesome, man.
Awesome.
Well,
all right, man.
I'll catch up with you soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good, man. Take care.
See you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you guys liked it and got a lot of value out of it. If you want to find more Jeremiah from Mobile Weld, you can find him on Instagram at MobileWeldINC. Find me at JMW Fabrication. Find the podcast at Welding Business Owners Podcast. And if you guys did get value out of this, please go on your podcast player that you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star rating. Only if you got value out of it. So until next time, guys, tune in next week for a brand new episode series. Until then, get out there, get it done, and get it invoiced.